Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:15 British Summer Time. Today is July 16th. Well, this was another strong day for stock markets. We see that the Dow Jones is closing up over 1%, same for the Nasdaq. And in fact, the Nasdaq is breaking to a new recovery high in here today and joining a number of other markets. I posted a number of them in comment of the day today. Spain, Sweden, Switzerland in Europe, or Singapore, Korea in Asia, Turkey as well, and Mexico and South Africa are very close to doing the same thing. So, and of course, we highlighted China, Indonesia, and Malaysia yesterday for doing just that, breaking to new recovery highs. So we're seeing increasing numbers of markets breaking upwards, and it is also notable that this market is being led higher by large caps. For example, on the Nasdaq, markets that are sorry, equities that are breaking to new highs include Apple, Intel, Microsoft, and Google. And well, these are certainly not small companies. They're some of the largest companies on the index. And we're seeing that it's the companies that are doing best appear to be those that have large international businesses that are not so focused on their domestic markets, but can play to the international market and have large diversified businesses. It is also interesting, for example, in Spain, that some of the best performing shares over the last few months have been banks. I know that a number of those banks have large operations in Latin America, but nonetheless, I was surprised to see that Spanish banks were doing so well. I intend to do a number of PDFs tomorrow with results of the better performing shares and some of the leading indices from our chart library, and I'll post those in comment of the day tomorrow. But what we're seeing is that some of these large caps are leading the markets higher, and that the ranging phases that have predominated since those that all change moment that we've highlighted since the 3rd of June were reversed earlier this week. And the upside can now be given the benefit of the doubt, at least in the short term, potentially in the medium term. And while we're certainly not out of the woods, we have a potentially difficult period ahead of us as we approach the anniversary of the crash last year. And we are in a seasonally less active, although potentially more volatile, period of time, which is, sort of the July-August period. And there are still quite a few economic challenges. Now, those have been largely brushed under the carpet this week because we've had major companies beating their estimates, the analyst expectations this week. And today, for example, we saw that JP Morgan and Google both beat analyst expectations. So this good news has pushed markets higher on consecutive days this week, and this is turning into a rather good earnings season, and we're not hearing any of the bearish arguments that were beginning to come out since, well, for most of June and into early July. When the earnings season is over, then there won't be this very good news predominating every day, and we can anticipate that these really quite impressive advances could well slow down. What we are seeing is that the markets that are doing best have been some of the leaders, and we're seeing that a number of these European markets are joining in at this point. But we haven't seen some of the larger markets breaking upwards from these developing base formations, and among those we would count the S&P and the Dow, or the FTSE and the DAX in Europe. And we haven't yet had a confirmed bullish case made for those particular markets. And as they rally back up towards the upper side of their ranges, then we're coming into potential areas of resistance. And for those markets at least, we are still in this prolonged base formation development phase, and they do need to sustain moves out of these bases to confirm the bullish hypothesis. We're not there just yet, but the action that we've seen over the last week has been very positive, and the upside can be given the benefit of the doubt for the majority of these stock markets. This strong stock market performance should be a support to the commodity markets, because the stock market not only is reacting to the positive earnings that have come out this week, but also to expectations that either I've seen one Merrill Lynch report saying that the recession is over, or that you have other people saying that the recession will end sometime this year. So people are starting to look to light at the end of the tunnel. And while no one expects growth in the USA or in the big economies in Europe to get back to levels seen prior to the crisis, any growth at all, I think, would be welcome. We also, of course, today had China coming out with strong GDP growth for the last quarter, and that certainly helped to support markets in the very short term, at least. When we look at the commodity markets, we see that the precious metals held on to their gains from yesterday. Today, we saw silver was up 8. The platinum price was up $8. The silver price was up 8 cents. Platinum was up $8, and gold was relatively flat on the day, just down very slightly. There was more action on the commodity markets, where we see that while oil has been consolidating really quite steadily above the $60 level, and it does appear that there is something of a floor around this $60 level, that natural gas posted really quite an impressive upward dynamic today, up 34 cents, and it has been ranging above this $3 level for about a week to 10 days, and this upward dynamic really does confirm support in that region, and there is potential for this to push somewhat higher, considering, of course, that it is really quite oversold or depressed looking down at this level. Today was a relatively quiet day on the currency markets. The dollar was relatively steady, and the pound and the euro were up slightly against it, and the dollar was stronger against, for example, the Canadian dollar in here today. But this does look like a toppy formation for the dollar against a large number of these currencies. The fact that the dollar wasn't able to rally impressively over the last month, when bonds had that really quite large move to the upside, is indicative of a suspicion that investors have got reservations about being aggressively long the dollar, that with the Treasury printing, or the Fed printing, like there is no tomorrow, you just can't go and print $2 trillion and there not be an effect on the dollar. Now, obviously, dollar or the currency markets are a two-way game, and we've had quantitative easing in a large number of other currencies, but the size of the economic problem in the USA would be fixed to a certain extent by a weaker currency and a monetization of the debts. And while there is certainly an argument that the dollar could be relatively steady with the economy beginning to turn around, and certainly the bullish tone that has been out there, I think would be dangerous to become too aggressively bullish of the dollar in this type of context, and certainly with the chart action there that is really indicating quite toppy activity for a number of these dollar crosses, then we could see this currency getting weaker over the coming weeks and months. The bond markets were also relatively steady today. Now, they've had a very good move to the upside, and this week saw the first downward dynamics, which put a cap on that advance, and there is potential for this market to pull lower. When we saw that the 10-year yield was up there at 4%, having doubled in that period between March and June, there must have been some bond investors out there thinking, well, 4% and such an oversold condition on the 10-year that they were buying them, and they sparked this impressive rally on the price and fall in the yields. If we do start to see that these equity rallies that are pushing on now are developing here turn into to something beyond the short term, then these yields could easily could come higher and begin to offer a headwind to equity markets. We're certainly not there yet, but if we start to see yields back up around the 4% level, and 4% is interesting because it is on the higher side of the range that predominated before the credit crisis, and of course interest rates were considerably higher back then as well. That could be a period where they could offer a headwind to stock markets. We're certainly not there yet, but it's something to bear in mind if we do start to see these prices coming off, and they do have room to pull back in here. And I think the big takeaway from today is that we are seeing increasing number of markets breaking to the upside. This is bullish activity, and any bearish hypothesis would need sustained moves below this week's lows to give it credence at this juncture. With that, I think I will leave you for the evening, but I'd like to wish all the best to all of you.